You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, March the 19th. And we are here for your post-Cleveland loss calming session. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Maybe expected to play a Mason drop to start the show as we do every time the Pistons are coming off a victory, but that is not the case on this Tuesday. Today, instead, we're going to run down the loss for Monday night against the Cleveland Cavaliers. What? A loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers? But I'm also going to tell you why I don't think it's a big deal. Although we do have a caller later on who will tell us why it is a big deal. So I'm anxious to hear what he has to say. But by the way, give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. And that's how our listener found out that I was looking for someone to make the case that this was a big loss and something that Pistons fans should get very concerned about. Our caller saw that and reached out on the Google voice line at 810-666-1546 and came through with a take. Interested to hear what he has to say. But the Pistons lose to one of the dregs of the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers, on Monday night by a score of 126-119, a game that I didn't feel good about for the Pistons' sake all day. A Blake Griffin rest day, as we kind of figured would happen from some of the reporting on Sunday, and then clearly it became a fact on Monday afternoon. But the Pistons, with Blake Griffin on rests, are 0-3 this season. Surprise, surprise, surprise. The Pistons are not good when Blake Griffin sits down. But the Pistons are now 5-6 on the second half of a back-to-back. As we know, that's a number we keep close eyes on here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. The Pistons have two more back-to-backs left this season, including Saturday and Sunday at Portland and Golden State, and then the final two games of the season, I believe Memphis and then the New York Knicks on the road to close the season in just a couple weeks' time, well, a few weeks' time, I guess. But Wayne Ellington had a season-high 25 points for the Pistons. He was 7 of 13 from 3, hoisting from deep. A very, very good percentage, though. If he wants to go ahead and shoot 7 of 13 for 3 every night, he can go ahead and shoot that many. No problem, according to Dwayne Casey. That's a lot of threes, but he made a lot of them. And a strong effort from on the stat line for Andre Drummond, 21 points and 21 rebounds for the big man for the Pistons, including 9 offensive rebounds and 5 assists as well. So by all accounts, a pretty strong game from Andre Drummond. Just to be as upfront with you guys as possible, I only saw about the last quarter and a half of this game. Was listening to Mark Champion on the ride home from East Lansing, where I was at Football Pro Day, and also talking to some of the basketball players as they're getting ready for the NCAA tournament coming up on Thursday. The Spartans, obviously, the 2 seed, taking out the Bradley Braves. The team's got a little controversy. Check up their journalistic controversy that's got folks like myself and all the journalist nerds out there very upset. So check out that controversy on Twitter if you want to dig deep into college basketball journalism. But back to the Pistons, 15 points for Reggie Jackson. He only played 24 minutes. It seemed like maybe Dwayne Casey was trying to get him half a rest and maybe not even bring him back in the fourth quarter, as the Pistons were leading early in the fourth, but had to bring him back, and he honestly didn't play very well at all at the end of the game and contributed to the loss. But that happens when you got the ball in your hands late in game. Sometimes it works out and sometimes it does not. That was certainly not the case in a bad way for the Pistons on Monday, as Reggie kind of floundered down the stretch. 13 apiece for Ish Smith and Langston Galloway off the bench. The biggest reason for the Cavs winning was, first of all, their three-point shooting. We'll get back into that a little bit later. But how about rookie point guard Colin Sexton with 27 points? Could not be stopped by the Pistons, who, as we know, despite the offensive powerhouse that they've been since the All-Star break, the Pistons just aren't good enough defensively on the perimeter. Bruce Brown is not good enough offensively to warrant more than the 15 or so minutes that he's getting per game. He needs to make real strides offensively before he can be any kind of permanent solution, I guess, in terms of a 20, 30, 35-minute player in this league. We'll see if how that development comes along. But Wayne Ellington is an okay defender, certainly not a plus defender or anything close to that. So, you know, this team has serious weaknesses defensively on the perimeter, product in part of Stanley Johnson being traded, and I know he's kind of a half-post, half-perimeter guy, and then Reggie Bullock, who wasn't a shutdown defender or anything like that, but a slightly above-average, I would say, defender, although at times he did get lost as well. So just kind of as we think about the offseason, as we think about what this team would look like going forward, we know that it's a building situation still. This isn't anywhere near a final product of what you would hope for with a contending team. Just something to think about, that maybe you err on the side of defense when talking about the draft and talking about the free agency. It's something I've been beating into the ground for the past year and a half with the show. But back to the game, 21 points for Jetty Osman and the Cavs. Some blasts from the past as well. 16 points for former Pistons lottery pick Brandon Knight. And 17 points for former Michigan star Nick Stauskas, still in the league. And playing well, good for him. Congratulations to Nick. Gave Johnny Cain the go blue in the post-game interview on the court. Some big, big shots late for the Canadian sharpshooter, so good to see him carving out a place in the league. Not exactly a stable place in the league when you're playing with the Cleveland Cavaliers, but maybe Nick can stick around and maybe stick somewhere and get some big money and have a nice career, as it's been a disappointment for him so far, another lottery pick himself. But late in the game, it was Osman and Sexton, the big step back for Sexton late in the shot clock, I believe right in Ellington's face, a huge shot by the rookie there to kind of put the game away. Meanwhile, Ellington cooled down. He had a three-pointer go in and out, and Jackson had a couple of poor possessions where he dribbled the air out of the ball, as we've kind of seen from him in the past. And again, more good than bad from Reggie Jackson lately, but this was not one of his stronger efforts down the stretch. Jackson missed a desperation three at the end of a shot clock in a bad possession. Also, I think he dribbled the clock out and threw a grenade to someone at some point, and that was it. This league is just a three-point contest sometimes, and the Pistons lost it. Cavs made some threes in the last 3 minutes, and the Pistons missed some. So it's not my preferred brand of entertainment, but that's what we got with the NBA these days. The Pistons' record is now 36-34 on the season, which, as I'm doing my quick math, means they're 70 games in, 12 to go, and two games over 500. A tough trip coming up here out west, as the Pistons will be in Phoenix on Thursday night for a late one, in Portland on Saturday night without CJ McCollum, apparently, and then on Sunday afternoon, second half of a back-to-back in Golden State. The trip rounds out with Denver after that. So four tough ones. I mean, Phoenix is one of the worst teams in the league, but still the first of a road trip. That becomes a must-win game, I think, pretty safe to say, as you don't want to build a losing streak against two tanking teams. But the Pistons, for now, still alone in sixth place in the Eastern Conference, one game ahead of the Brooklyn Nets, two games ahead of the Miami Heat in eighth, the surprise winner on Monday night in Oklahoma City, and the Pistons are 3.5 games inside the playoffs ahead of Orlando. Before the Pistons' next game on Thursday night in Phoenix, Charlotte is hosting Philly tonight, and Brooklyn. I don't know where that came from, but it's Brooklyn, not Brookland. They are at Sacramento tonight, and then tomorrow night, Orlando hosting the Pelicans and Miami at the San Antonio Spurs. So if you're looking at those two nights as separate pieces, I could see a split on both nights in terms of the outcomes that the Pistons and would be rooting for. But again, and the splits are fine. When you're in a position of power like the Pistons, you take those splits of nights. Bad things happen when you have multiple bad results like the Pistons did on Tuesday night. But it's okay every now and then. Pistons still in a really good position to make the playoffs. Now, obviously, there's jokes about whether the Pistons should want the 7 seed or the 6 seed, especially if Philly's going to be the 3 seed, which looks to be the way it's probably going to shake down. And then you got Toronto as the 2 seed. It's a legitimate conversation. Who would you rather face, Toronto or Philly? But still, the Pistons need to be in a position where they're not tanking. They're winning games as much as you possibly can. You still want to lock up that playoff chance and get some rest at the end of the season as quickly as possible. And then, I don't know, we'll maybe talk about that as we go on, about whether the playoff matchup factors into some of your late season lineups or the way you approach games late in the year. I don't know quite how I feel about that here off the top of my head right now. But the Pistons' percentages are, they fall from above 99% chance of making the playoffs to just 98% chance of making the playoffs, according to 538.com. Not a big thing. Still projected to be 42-40 on the season and four games inside of the playoffs. So still a huge collapse would need to happen for the Pistons to have their fortunes reversed at this point in the season after playing so well over the past 3 weeks. And credit to them. You know, you can do things like sit Blake Griffin if you have that nice little cushion. And the Pistons earn that, and they're enjoying that right now despite a tough loss last night. So we will see. And again, West Coast trip coming up. We'll talk about that later on. But don't want to fall into a long, long losing streak. Take care of business on Thursday against Phoenix. They got a nice comeback game when they do get back to town against Orlando. That could be really kind of a nail in the coffin for the purposes of the Orlando and Detroit comparisons this season. Lock up the tiebreaker against them. But up next, I'm going to talk you down from the ledge a little bit more about this game and loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But hey, did you know that you can fill out a tourney bracket at DraftKings this year? That's right, DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket during the tourney. Might as well do it with award-winning app with tons of free prizes. For the first time ever, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion with $64,000 in prizes. A lot of cheddar. That's like Mike Trout cheddar. Well, not even close, but fun to think about. The Mike Trout's big deal. Go ahead and get yourself signed up for DraftKings and the bracket battle promotion. Michigan and Michigan State with the two seeds. Michigan State with Duke in that bracket. Michigan with Gonzaga. I kind of like both of those teams to make a little run. And when you're doing the office pool locally here in Michigan or maybe with some other Detroit sports fans, my tip is don't pick Michigan and Michigan State because everyone else is going to. So you're going to benefit when those teams lose in an early upset. Sure, take them to the Sweet 16 or something, but don't put them in your final game. But when you're doing these national apps like DraftKings and going for the big money prizes, you can go ahead and ride with the local teams there. You know how brackets work. That's just my little tip there. Before tip-off of the first game of the tournament, just pick the winner of every game every round. That's all there is to it. And the best part is you can play for free with promo code DRIBBLE, D-R-I-B-B-L-E for the non-spellers out there. That's DRIBBLE, aptly named here on the Locked on Pistons podcast. You can even set up a private group for you and your friends and compete for bragging rights. Download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now. Use code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. That's code DRIBBLE to help us out here on the Lockdown Network. And enter the bracket battle for free only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Yes, sir! A little bit later on, we're going to hear from a listener who will try to tell us why Monday's loss was a huge deal. I'm interested to hear that. But I get the first word because it's my show here, damn it. But by the way, when you get in your car, and I've been telling you this, so you definitely need to be doing it by now, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked on Pistons. We'll get in your life as much as possible. But first, I want to talk to you off the ledge a little bit before listener Tyler sends you right back up there. Let's not do the woe is me thing about the loss to the Cavs. I know Detroit fans, we can't win anything. I know we hear it all the time, and it's to a large extent true about the dregs of where the Detroit sports scene is right now. The Pistons, man, we can't even beat the Cavs. What kind of team is this? This is a Cavs team that got pounded by the Pistons a few weeks ago in their place. NBA teams are prideful. I talked a little bit about Nick Stauskas at the top of the show. This is obviously a really talented guy. Same way for lottery picks like Brandon Knight and Marquise Chriss. Super talented guys who have had really disappointing pro careers, trying desperately to carve out a niche in this league, trying to make a roster spot for next season, trying to make some money while they can. And I tell you what, if you look at these dregs, these tank teams, the four tanks is what I call them, Phoenix, Chicago, the Knicks, and the Cavaliers, most of the tank damage has already been done. Spots are pretty well set at the end of the lottery for these teams. The Cavs, with the win, they're still a game and a half into that bottom three. The bottom three is where you want to be. There's no difference in those spots for lottery position. There's no incentive for being the worst team in the league comparatively to the third worst team in the league. Even the Bulls, who are the fourth from the bottom, so the least ideal lottery position out of those four teams, we're talking about for them a 12.5% chance on Zion instead of a 14% chance for the bottom three. 14%, by the way, that's what these teams embarrass themselves all season for that 14% chance at Zion Williamson. But anyways, the top four pick difference for those teams landing in the top four, 52.1% for the bottom three and then 48.1% for the Bulls. So the Bulls not in as ideal of a lottery situation as those other three, but it's really pretty close. By the way, I like the new system of lottery evening out, smoothing out. It discourages the tanking a little bit. You know, tanking is maybe an unsolvable problem in some ways if you keep any kind of incentive for being bad, but I think they've made some good strides towards shutting it down a little bit. Now, will this Pistons loss come back to haunt Detroit as we look back after the final night of the season? Will the team drop a place in the playoff picture or maybe even fall out of the playoffs? Well, if you're going to make that argument, if that's the case, you have to kind of look around the league. The Pistons are now 11-1 against Phoenix, Cleveland, Chicago, and the Knicks, an 8% winning percentage for the other team. They have two games left against those four dregs, Thursday at Phoenix and the final game of the season at the New York Knicks. One of the best records in the league, 11-1 against the dregs. Now, I spent some time. I did it. I went through all the records out there. There's only three teams in the NBA that are still undefeated against those four, and all of them are in the Western Conference, which makes sense because they play those teams less. Three of the four dregs are in the East, Cleveland, Chicago, and the New York Knicks. And the way that the schedule is balanced, obviously the Western Conference teams are going to play those Eastern Conference teams less. So the three undefeated teams against those four teams are Portland, who is 8-0. They have one game left against the dregs. The Clippers are 7-0. They have three games left. And Utah is only 6-0. They still have four games left against those dregs. Now, if you're paying attention at home, Detroit with that 11-1 record has more wins than any of those teams, and certainly Portland, the Clippers, and Utah still have a chance to possibly lose to one of those teams. And Portland definitely has a good chance of finishing 9-0 against those four teams, but 11-1, six of one, half dozen of the other, right? Now, as far as the other red letter teams, if you're talking about the playoff positioning against some of these teams that the Pistons are jockeying with, Miami has two losses to the dregs this year. Brooklyn has three losses. Charlotte has three losses to the dregs, those four teams. Orlando has five losses to the dregs, and that's one of the teams that could possibly keep the Pistons out of the playoffs in some kind of universe where Orlando makes this miracle comeback and the Pistons have a miracle collapse. So this is not going to be the reason. This game that the Pistons lost against the Cleveland, it's a numbers thing. It was going to happen. You had a back-to-back. You had Blake Griffin resting. It's a pretty smart bet to say that the Cavs were going to win that game, especially when they hit a bunch of threes. By the way, Milwaukee has three losses, the best team in the NBA. Three losses to the dregs this season, Pistons with one. There's only one team out there, and again, the percentages of Portland, the Clippers, and Utah undefeated against those teams as we sit right now, are the percentage is clearly better than the Pistons, but only one team in the NBA has more wins than the Pistons against the dregs, and that is the Indiana Pacers at 13-1 this season. They're all done against those four teams. The Pistons have a chance to tie Indiana if they can take care of business on Thursday. And in the final game of the season, they would also finish 13-1 against those teams. Another Eastern Conference team with just one loss is Toronto, 10-1. They have three games left against the dregs. So the Pistons at 11-1, still one game ahead of Toronto in this weird convoluted standings that I put together. Now, the other concerning number that you could make an argument is something that's sustainable against the Pistons, is the three-point defense. The Cavs went 11 for 22 from deep, a gaudy 50%, knocking down big shots. But the Pistons shot well too, by the way, 18 of 44 from three, so they made more threes than the Cavs, although the 41% on their threes is a little bit less than Cleveland's percentage there. But this is not a long-range problem. The Pistons' three-point defense is okay. It's not elite like it was earlier this season, but they're allowing 34.6% from three, ninth in the league there, a stat, like I said, where they've been near the top of the league, but they're still And look, the best team in the league is Brooklyn at 34%, and the Pistons are at 34.6%. So this is not a legitimate reason why they're losing a string of games at any point in this season. The Pistons have allowed 9.7 three-pointers made per game, which is the absolute fewest in the league. They lead the league in fewest amount of threes made per game for the opponents, 9.7. So they're not really even letting teams shoot threes. They're allowing the second fewest attempts in the league. So yeah, obviously doing a really good job defending the three-point line. And by the way, the Pistons, with their offensive explosion of late, tied for 19th in the league, which is moving on up in their own three-point percentage offensively at 34.9%, shooting a better percentage than they allow, making 34.9% and allowing a 34.6% for the opponents. Pistons also making 12.1 three-pointers per game, which is eighth in the league, and shooting the seventh most amount of three-pointers per game at 34.6. All this to say, Pistons still in very good shape at the three-point line, especially given the fact that they're, you know, as we know, a perimeter, less resources dedicated to the shooters. When we talk about their three most important players, their three big-time players are Andre Drummond, who is not a factor in three-point percentages, Reggie Jackson, who is a pedestrian three-point shooting guard himself and someone who's more there to be a point guard and was paid back then to be more of a point guard. We know that, that has been complicated with the recent roster changes of the past year, namely bringing up a point forward of sorts in Blake Griffin aboard. And then Blake Griffin, kudos to him, obviously, for developing his three-point shot. And a lot of the credit for the Pistons' increase and decent three-point percentages themselves and numbers offensively, a lot of that credit has to go to Blake Griffin's emergence from behind the long line this year. But like I said, their three biggest resources, three biggest money guys, three most important players are not guys who are three-point shooters. So to be 19th in the league and making the eighth most three-pointers in the league, given that you're not really primarily a three-point shooting team, I think that will change as the roster construction moves forward with this new regime and Dwayne Casey at the helm. But I think that they're sitting in pretty good shape with those numbers that we just talked about. Speaking of good shape with numbers, Andre Drummond, 33 games this season. He moved to the 33rd last night of at least 15 points and 15 rebounds, breaking the franchise record previously held by Hall of Famer Bob Lanier, who did it 32 times in the 72-73 season. I remember that season well, 72-73, but just kidding there. But congratulations for Andre Drummond for breaking that convoluted record there. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company go ahead and sponsor Locked On Pistons. Email me at matt_schoch, @yahoo.com to find out more. Up next, we're going to hear from the Left Coast. A listener out in California is going to check in and totally tell us why the Pistons are in some trouble. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt, this is Tyler Ross calling from Ventura, California. Big fan of the Pistons, big fan of the podcast. This tonight's game, the Cavs game, sucks, but not a big deal. This happens every night all over the NBA, especially, you know, night two of a back-to-back coming off that Toronto win, and the decision to rest Blake mostly solidified or give a crap level, as Dwayne Casey loves to say. You know, I think resting Blake is a great move because we're going to need him so much if we're going to do anything in the playoffs, you know. But sneaking out a win tonight without him would have been ideal. But I think overall it's better to get the rest that we need and be ready. And, you know, playing Toronto first round might help us out a little bit. But, again, love the show and keep listening and keep it up. Go Pistons.
Tyler from Cali, appreciate the call. Keep those calls coming at 810-666-1546. He's on board. He's with me. I thought he might be building the case why it might be a big loss for the Pistons on Monday, but that is certainly not the case, and Tyler agrees. So it's unanimous. Me and Tyler agree. Let's not freak out about this game. Let's chill out. We've seen these last few weeks. We got a playoff team here. We got at times what can be a good team. And thanks to Tyler for checking in from California. He broached the subject that we kind of brought up a little bit earlier about the playoff matchups. Maybe it helps to play Toronto in the first round. And that's something that we're going to talk about. We got some time to delve into that over these next few weeks. An opinion that I had, by the way, a lot of folks out there were saying, why is Blake Griffin resting against Cleveland when if you play him this game, it basically, you know, not guarantees, but it gives you a really good chance of beating Cleveland, and then go ahead and rest him instead with some games against the back-to-back they have Sunday against Golden State, for instance, maybe the game at Denver where you have a low probability of winning anyways. So kind of combine those two qualities, those outcomes that you want. You want to win those games against the bad teams, but you also want to rest Blake a little bit. I don't think this is a factor. I think that teams decide whether they should rest players based on their workload, based on their health, based on the way they look. I don't think it matters who they play against. This is an 82-game schedule. You're going to have those wins that you play up and get the victories against teams that maybe you shouldn't beat. You're going to have those losses where you lose to teams that you shouldn't lose to. We know that throughout the course of a long season. I just think that when you're looking at the opponents and who to rest. Now, if you're talking about two games and you maybe want to pick one of them, maybe you would look at the opponents in that situation. But I think the Pistons said, look, we got an opportunity here. We've got two games off after the Cavs game, so we could get Blake three games off in a row and really before we go into a tough home stretch of a brutal schedule, game after game after game, with just one day off in between the rest of the way. I just think that they looked at the schedule. They looked at Blake. Blake said himself last week that he felt like he was tired. He understands that people think he looks tired because I think he is tired. So I just don't think that the Pistons are looking at, well, let's rest him in a week in a game that we might lose anyway. I don't think that that is a factor. Now, as far as what Tyler's talking about, do the Pistons want to play the Raptors instead of the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round? That's a question that we're going to be looking at the next few weeks in the playoffs. And do you alter some of your regular season, late season strategies, who you sit, what kind of things you're doing to get ready for the playoffs when you're looking particularly at that matchup there? We'll talk about that as the days and weeks go on. But thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Got a guest lined up for tomorrow's show about a new endeavor here on the Locked On Network that you're going to be anxious to hear about here as baseball season approaches. But anyway, this is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.